The first theme is the flow of love. Abraham Joshua Heschel said, "This is what we mean by the term spiritual. It is the ecstatic force that stirs all our goals. When we perceive it, it is as if our mind were gliding for a while with an eternal current." Who isn't interested in love? We give love, we receive love. It has a flowing quality. The kind of love addressed in the spiritual experience questions is freely given, sustaining, upbuilding love, called by some compassionate love. Not only does this refer to compassionate love for those who are suffering, but also to love that helps the loved ones to flourish. This love occurs with strangers, as well as in families, marriages, and romantic relationships, and even with friends. One of the best descriptions I've heard of this kind of love is, quote, "to set aside one's own agenda for the sake of, to strengthen, or to give life to the other," unquote. This kind of love centers on the good of the other. It's the kind of love that feels so good to be on the receiving end of, good in a lasting way, one that sticks to the ribs and doesn't give indigestion. It's a caring love that has a weight, a nourishing quality. To be loved when it is the choice of the other and at some cost emotionally or physically can make a special impact. Becoming acutely aware of moments of love in our daily lives is not always easy. I offer the following exercise, which many have found useful. You may need to pause the activities that you're doing and sit down and do this, or return to this activity later if you don't have time to do it right now. The exercise has three parts. We start out by closing our eyes. Pay attention to your breath moving in and out, long and deep, with the air fully going into your abdomen and then blowing it out very completely for a few breaths. Now, part two. Reflect on an ordinary moment in the past when you gave of yourself to another at a cost. It might have been a small gesture or something with a higher profile. The cost might have been time, energy, emotions, money, beyond what was expected of you. The person might have been someone close to you or a stranger. Move through that moment in your imagination. What did it feel like? Rest in it. Give yourself a while to fully revisit that in your memory. Now, part three. I'd like you to remember a time in the past when you personally felt truly loved. Loved for who you are, beyond the momentary circumstances, beyond the superficial. Deeply loved. Pick a time that holds particular importance for you. What were the circumstances of the relationship and the context? Return to the scene and try to relive it. What did this feel like? What effect did it have on you? Experience the event again from the inside out rather than as an observer from the outside. Smell the smells, hear the sounds, and stay with the scene as long as you experience something of the joy that was yours at this time. Take time to pause the audio if you can and reflect. And if you can, jot down some of your responses and the particular moments you return to. The first time I offered this exercise to others was in a large audience of mostly scientists and academics at MIT. Dr. Cicely Saunders, the founder of the modern hospice movement, which provides places for people to be cared for at the end of life, was in the audience. She was a strong woman in her 80s who had done so much in her life for others. She made a point of coming up to me after the presentation. She talked about how doing the exercise powerfully brought back to her an event from her past when she had been loved, and what a good experience it had been for her to revisit this once again. Some of us give so much in our lives. Taking time to dwell on love flowing in can be very positive and nourishing. It can contribute to the flow of love in our lives. The four questions in the DSES that specifically focus on love, number 6 to 9, can help us attend to this particular kind of experience of love in our lives. I have been involved in developing scientific research on this other-centered love over the years. As you can imagine, it's very hard to measure in a satisfactory way. But the "I feel a selfless caring for others" item and the "I accept others even when they do things I think are wrong" item from the DSES have been used as one way to measure the giving of this kind of love in a number of scientific studies. And for the flow of love to be complete, we must also receive love. The two additional questions on feeling divine love directly or through other people gets at this receiving of caring transcendent love. Although these items focus specifically on love, a number of the other questions also measure connection and support that can fuel our love. The spiritually touched by the beauty of creation item, the comfort item, the thankful for my blessings one, for example. The flow of love is a crucial part of the aspects of love measured in the entire set of questions. Love, sweet and tough. Other-centered love is not all mush and sweetness. Sometimes it's easier to just give in, to give the ones you love whatever they want, but that may not be the best thing for them. An example of this might be how we handle a friend whose behaviors are causing them harm or harming their relationships. We may seem unsupportive in the short run as we help them to avoid long-term problems. This is one of many reasons why we cannot measure love by actions. When you are counting your daily spiritual experiences of love using the frequency measures or the checklist version, don't forget to notice those attitudes and actions that desire the best for others so that they will flourish, but are wrapped in a tough disguise. Have you ever found yourself standing firm when a friend wanted to do something you saw as potentially destructive, even in the face of negative feedback from them? For example, friends don't let friends drive drunk. The love we perceive coming from others may also be hidden, packaged in this way. Receiving love. Can the love questions help? For love to flow, we need balance between giving love and receiving love. I developed a model of love for use in research. The model explicitly incorporates the idea that for love to flow out from us in effective ways, there need to be sources of love in our own lives. If we are not able to allow love in, we stop the flow. The airplane stewards say, in case of a decrease in cabin pressure, put on your own oxygen mask before helping a child next to you. If we are not breathing, we are of little use to others. Burnout is a real issue for those of us involved in caregiving, whether we're professional caregivers, parents caring for a child, adults caring for an elderly parent, or volunteers in various caring roles. We need to make sure that we allow love to flow into our lives, from God directly, from the divine, or from other people. Love centered on our flourishing, love flowing in. The DSES questions you've been working with address two ways that we can experience love flowing in, directly and through others. These can both be important sources of love in our lives. Most religious systems, especially those that encourage a personal relationship with a divine being, set up ways to experience God's love directly. They describe a love from God that is always there. We just have to tune in and be willing to be who we are, aware of both our strengths and weaknesses in the divine presence. If I sometimes accept others, even if they do things I think are wrong, consider how much more God does this. Divine mercy aimed at me. If we substitute that which represents the divine or holy for us, even more people can say that they experience divine love directly. Some people have just not been in many situations where others express another-centered love to them. This is sad. Feeling love depends on that love being expressed in the first place. However, an ever-present divine love can still be there to draw on, to fill the tank. Operating with other people in a tit-for-tat environment does not encourage love to flow freely. If we only give love in order to receive something, or we only give love when we expect something in return, that does not fuel this divine, other-centered love in our lives. An example of this is when partners in a relationship keep close tally on whether a gift has been reciprocated. We just end up with a balance sheet, a scorecard. This is not a balanced flowing of love, but an accounting spreadsheet. If we give love in this context, we are more likely to see the love we receive in this way too. Sometimes other things disguise themselves as love. I worked many years in grant making, giving away a foundation's money for research projects. This was a very strategic activity, and it was crucial to pay attention to what the sources of love were in my life. I had to be vigilant that the positive strokes I received from those I gave money to were not the source of my good feelings about myself. Otherwise, the flow of love out to those in need became tangled up in my own personal needs. I could easily find myself more likely to give money to those who gave me positive strokes, and wise decision-making would go down the tubes. I needed to be aware of this dynamic and not allow it to drive my decisions. My own needs for love needed to be filled from somewhere else. And in order to allow love to flow freely, I needed to rise above the tit-for-tat metrics. I had to continually find other ways to fuel my love, care, and concern for others. Does receiving divine love fuel the love that flows out from you? Is this flow of love in your life fueled at all by a higher power? W.H. Auden, one of the greatest poets of the 20th century, wrote about a spiritual experience in his life. I felt myself invaded by a power which, though I consented to it, was irresistible and certainly not mine. For the first time in my life, I knew exactly, because thanks to the power I was doing it, what it means to love one's neighbor as oneself. My personal feelings toward them were unchanged. They were still colleagues, not intimate friends. But I felt their existence as themselves to be of infinite value, and I rejoiced in it. I think about love for my daughters and how it feels. I wonder about how it influences their obvious care for each other. Where did it come from, and what keeps it going? An Irish legend about St. Kevin has been put into poetic form by Seamus Heaney. There's a great recording of Seamus Heaney reading it online. Due to copyright, I can't read the poem here. The legend describes St. Kevin kneeling in his monastic cell, praying with arms outstretched, one out the window through the bars of his cell. A bird settles in his outstretched hand and makes a nest there. Because of his compassion, Kevin just stays in that position until the eggs hatch. It must have been very hard, and he would have become very tired and wanted to stop. Not even reflecting on the logistics, where did he find the energy to continue holding the nest while the eggs hatched? Heaney, in his poem, touches on the eternal and rooted wellspring of love in the midst of difficulties, and how care for the bird allows that wellspring to flow through Kevin. Are you holding any birds that have begun to nest? Do you ever find yourself stuck in the midst of commitment and care, in distress, yet still desiring to love? Do you find yourself overextended in some way or another? And then what do you do? How do you sustain this love and care? How does that feel? Take a moment to reflect on your responses and possibly stop the audio and jot down a few notes.